This is Shlomo Swidler, CEO of Orchestratus, on Tuesday, October 8th, 2013. Welcome back to another episode of the OpenStack Israel podcast. This is your host, Shlomo Swidler from Orchestratus. And today our special guest is Samuel Berkovich. Samuel is at Radware here in Israel, and he is director and product manager for integration with cloud systems. Welcome to the podcast, Samuel.
Hi, Shlomo.
I heard that you guys are doing some interesting stuff with OpenStack. When did you start looking at it?
We've joined OpenStack about 2 years ago, actually, around the end of 2011, where we were thinking that that's going to be the up-and-coming cloud operating system to keep close eye at. And not surprisingly, this is what actually happened. So OpenStack today is very successful, with a very rich and vivid developer community and customer base. And we decided to join OpenStack as early as possible, first to be aware of what's going on, and then to contribute in a way that will allow Radware to integrate our solution, currently mainly our load balancing solution, but later on maybe also the security solution, into OpenStack.
So your activities with OpenStack are currently mainly around load balancing?
Correct. So this immediate, during the Grizzly release, now the Havana release, we're mainly focused on first how load balancing needs to be integrated and exposed in OpenStack, and then also on what needs to be done so commercial vendors could add their support of load balancer into OpenStack.
Well, what are the main challenges with adding load balancing to OpenStack today?
Initially, the challenge was that there was not a clear place to integrate the load balancing into OpenStack. The discussion was whether load balancing by its own is entitled to its own project. And if that was the case, then there is the generic cycle of how projects are evolving in OpenStack, when you start to develop a project, assuming it gets successful and accepted by the community, it graduates to be incubated. Mm-hmm. And then if the incubation process succeeds, then after incubation, it becomes a product. So if that would have been the case, then the cycle for having load balancer as a service would have been something around 1 year or 1.5 years, okay? Realistically, very fast we got to an agreement that load balancing and other layer 4 to 7 networking functionality actually made sense to be part of the Neutron project, which was by then was still called Quantum. And then the next phase was a discussion on how to actually introduce an API into Quantum that will reflect the load balancing capabilities, and then how to allow third-party vendors to integrate into Quantum. From a technical perspective, the model that Quantum was supporting then, or Neutron was supporting then, was that the network plugin, in the terms of Neutron, which is let's say the Cisco solution or the MVP, which is now VMware solution, which is a whole solution that does layer 2 to layer 3, was had to expose the additional functionality on it. And there was a need to actually find a different way to generically expose load balancing APIs from the generic API level, so that any other network implementer will actually be able to inherit from there and use it. So in that case, you would get a mix between who is the network provider and who is the load balancer provider, and not get a monolithic where the network and the load balancer provider must have been one.
Interesting. Is this the approach that OpenStack as a whole is taking, or is this the approach that you have taken in your solution?
Actually, the load balancing service was a pivot in how this needs to be done. Originally, the module in OpenStack was that the implementer of a specific high-level function is a whole module. So let's say if you look at Nova, the implementation of the virtual infrastructure is monolithic. There is no mix and match there. So you can get like some capabilities that are VMware mixed with the capabilities that are KVM, right? You right. either get the KVM solution or the VMware solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was how networking was also done. But in the networking world, this actually is probably not sufficient enough. So the approach that we were taking was the pivot on how everything else was going. After the load balancing of the service was designed in that way, then in the Havana time space, there's additional layer 4-7 functionality such as VPN and firewall that are using the same concept. And also now with the introduction of what is called ML2, which is a new type of network implementation, then you could even actually mix and match different implementation of network. So you could have, let's say, a portion of the network implemented using an ICR solution and another portion using, let's say, a Cisco solution.
Or a Radware solution.
Radware if it's the load balancer. So Radware is orthogonal to which network technology is being used, yes.
Right. And so OpenStack is a software project.
Sure.
You guys are integrating what into OpenStack? Code or code that helps integrate with your hardware?
So we are integrating into OpenStack code that allows the integration with our either hardware solution or a virtual appliance-based solution. So the way Radware is packaging its solutions is that we obviously have a hardware form factor in which Radware ships hardware boxes in which the solution runs inside, or virtual appliances form factor, which are virtual machines that also has the functionality. So load balancing, you could get load balancing from Radware either as a virtual appliance or as a hardware appliance. And the key with our code that was contributed to OpenStack is that the code allows you to integrate the load balancing functionality currently primarily as a virtual appliance and then later on also as the hardware solution.
Sure. So what's the state of your load balancing contributions today?
So we have just recently committed our code into the open source, the Neutron trunk. So it should be available out of any existing DevStack solution, and obviously it's part of the OpenStack distribution.
So how long ago did you start actually implementing this solution? You said you started looking at it about two years ago when you joined.
Right.
When did you start implementing this?
So during the Grizzly timeframe, we mostly designed how the load balancing as a function would look in Neutron, and by the Grizzly timeframe, there was a solution that was just using HFProxy as a reference implementation.
Mm-hmm.
During the Havana timeframe, the solution was opened up in a way that allows different vendors to add their drivers, load balancer drivers, into Neutron.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Radware is the first commercial load balancing vendor actually contributing the integration code into Neutron as an open source load balancer driver.
Hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. How did you find the process of committing and sharing and contributing to OpenStack?
It's a very good question. I think that working with OpenStack, since it's an open source environment and since it's not just a vendor ecosystem, it really requires a very good mix between contributing code and work to the community and also doing your own stuff. So if you're just focused on doing your own stuff, there's a good chance that it would be harder for you to get your private, let's say, code into OpenStack. So you really need to balance between actually contributing to the OpenStack community and working on your own code. The way we did it on the Havana timeframe is that we worked mostly on how to, on the driver code. So we were part of the team working on how to do multi-vendor and actually contributed portions of code into that segment.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, using that code, Well, we also started to write our own driver. In parallel, we did open bugs and did some fixes there. And I believe that on the Ice House release, we'll be doing much more in terms of contributing code to the community.
So you took the typical path of refactoring existing code to driverize it to create a framework, and then you plugged your own custom implementation in to that framework.
Correct. And also we did some generic neutron work around actual development and some bug testing and opening bugs on both Neutron and Nova.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I think what is the recommended mix is something like 60-40, when 60% of the time is spent on working for the community and with the community, and 40% is spent on doing your own code.
Hmm. There is a tension there, though, isn't there? Like, the community may want to go in a direction that doesn't match your own agenda.
Not really, because the real way to move things around in OpenStack is by being active, right? So mm-hmm. it's not a community discussion driven process. It's an action driven process in which if there's a decision that made sense and was done either during the release summit or during the initial stages of the cycle. So you get backed up by presenting what you want to do and then get that accepted. Then the next phase is for you to implement that. This means that the tension is not around you want to do something and someone else wants to do something else. It's more around if you want to do something, declare that you want to do it, get acceptance for that, and actually act on it. So it's a little bit different. If you do have the capability to act on what you need, you're probably going to have what you need in the code.
Being a member of the OpenStack committee helps you get that approval more easily. Is that correct?
No, not really.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
No, not really. The process is extremely democratic to a good degree, in which that means that for getting a proposal accepted, that obviously needs to be proposed first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there is a discussion that usually takes place in the mailing list around the blueprint or around the feature. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the best place to do such a discussion is in the design summit. So a major feature that is needed to be pushed during the cycle, the best time to put it forward and discuss it is during the design summit. And assuming this was accepted, okay, then the best way to actually make it happen is put the required resources to implement that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Getting a decision accepted and then not having people doing it is a sure thing to not having it done.
Yep. So in other words, it's a community led by action and submitted and working code as opposed to policy and politics.
Correct.
That sounds great.
And I believe that this is why most of the decisions that are being driven are the correct one, because they're first acceptable, and second one, they're practical. So
yes, practical is probably the key.
Right.
Are you planning on attending the upcoming Israel OpenStack event on December 9th?
Sure. I believe this is going to be great. The last one was an amazing event. I think that OpenStack in Israel is extremely important both for a customer base, because I believe that OpenStack should be extremely interesting to organization in Israel due to the advanced features that it now has and the wide breadth and acceptance that it reached during the last 2 years. And also, I believe that obviously from year to year, it actually becomes better and more interesting. So I believe that this year it's going to be even better than the last year.
Okay, so if any listeners want to get your autograph, they should show up at the event.
Correct.
Well, one last question, Samuel. What are your hopes and dreams from OpenStack down the line?
So my hope and dream is actually for OpenStack to be widely accepted and successful. I believe that it's in the right track, but there's still a road to go. Mainly, I believe, on the domain of ease of installation, and get the appropriate support. I believe that it is on the right track because you do get enough commercial vendors backing it up. So probably even now or very soon, the capability to install it in a much easier way is going to be more available. And obviously, my dreams is that this is going to be successful. Hence, we as Radware will be able to get our solution out there and be successful with it.
Samuel, I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the OpenStack Israel podcast. And I look forward to seeing you at the event coming up on December 9th. Listeners, check it out at www.openstack-israel.org. And you can see more details on the event there. Thanks for joining us, Samuel.
Thank you very much, Joel.